time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
We are back at it. Another week, Black History Year, you know, still here. Still out here living unvaccinated at the moment, dodging droplets, face masked up. How you doing, brother?
I mean, you just broke it all down right there.
It is. Oh, shit. I have started doing the research, though. I've started to see some shit. At Johnson's & Johnson's, it's very available. But you got me looking at it real sideways now. I know somebody that just got it today, as a matter of fact. I don't want to put them on blast.
Oh, word.
Because we've already identified it as the inferior vaccine. So,
that's not scientifically proven. That's just,
yeah, but in the streets, it seems like there's some vaccine shaming going on. And people are going to take, seems as though they're taking quality over convenience. But, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. Shout out to the J&J's. I did see something about this one guy, white dude. He got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I'm pretty sure it was the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And his skin started peeling off.
Mm.
Yeah, man. That type of shit is, you know, that's the propaganda you don't want to see. You know?
Damn.
Yeah, that's it. But, you know, it's a lot of people out here getting that shot. So, and they still around, so, you know.
They had a situation where they had a bad batch that put them on pause in a lot of places.
The J and J,
yeah, the J and J had a bad batch, so they had to pull out.
I think I saw that.
Certain things. Mm-hmm. So like in Atlanta, most of the big places are giving out the Pfizer joint because I think the Johnson & Johnson was, you know, had to get pulled back, so they had less of that.
It was stepped on.
I don't know. I think something happened.
Yeah, I did see that. I saw that, actually. They got, so one of their ingredients was got mixed up with something else or whatever. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That ain't good. That's not what you want to hear.
Nah.
But, yeah, so, you know, that's what I've been doing this week. I have been circling around vaccination, but I haven't all the way, you know. Nobody's pulled the trigger or plunged the syringe as of yet.
Yeah, I went.
What's up with you?
I went as far as to research where, you know what I'm saying? I got all the way to the, you know what I'm saying, book your time. All I had to do is press the confirm.
Yep.
And I didn't pull the trigger. You know what I'm saying? I got the email saying, you know, you are ready to go, but this is not a confirmation of your appointment. I'm like, I bet it ain't.
You have a syringe in your cart. Would you like to confirm? Would you like to finish? Yeah, man.
I'm going to think about it.
Yep. Yeah, man. But what's going on? So you still in the A, huh?
Yeah, I came back in the A to start on one of my projects. So,
okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I'll be back in New York for my daughter's birthday.
That's in April.
What's in April?
Oh, okay, so. And then the Muhammad holiday comes up after that.
Holiday in May, yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Now, your wife's birthday is when? In April? When is that? It's
October.
October. Okay. Because I was going to ask you, is it a better look when all of the birthdays are kind of bunched up so you know, like, you got to get the bag for this time and then you got a full year? Or is it, you know what I mean? I guess you could only use your own experience, but I thought, you know, like, since the Muhammad holiday, I thought a lot of them were like kind of like, so you got your daughter in April, you got your both sons in May,
mm-hmm.
but then your wife is in October. So
yeah, but then you got the anniversary in February, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know, it's always something, you know what I mean? Then right along in March is spring break. You know,
right.
So, you know, all of these are big ticket items, you know what I'm saying? So right. you just now, like, so January, you just coming off of, you know, the holiday thing, you know what I'm saying? Then February is anniversary. Then March is spring break. April birthday star. May double birthday. It's like you never really get a chance to, you know, at least I haven't at this point. Mm-hmm. Haven't had it, you know, set up in a way where it's all just easy. It's always like, God damn, that shit coming up quick.
Woo. Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So I guess when you look at it like how you just broke it down, maybe there can be a little more, you know, planning associated with that first two quarters of the year, because they always come swinging real hard, you know? So, it's definitely not easy, you know what I'm saying? Especially the older they get and the more intricate the gifts they want or parties they want to do. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to do no, you know, super sweet 16 type of, you know what I'm saying, bring goddamn Drake to perform or no shit, but.
Right.
You know
right,
what I'm saying? Right. Even still.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, old Drake. Expensive. Yeah, I know that shit. That shit is right. A ticket. Oh, man, that's crazy. Anyway, man. Yeah. So what's going on? What's up? What's the A looking like?
A looking like how it always been looking, like open. You know what I mean? And then at this point, you know, the vaccine is out. So I mean, it's not just the A, it's just the world is opening up a whole lot faster. You know what I'm saying? It's like they trying to open up as fast as they shut it down. It's like Delta selling that middle seat again ahead of schedule. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like in Georgia, you know what I'm saying? They relaxing the regulations. You know what I'm saying? Restaurants can go full capacity now. The ban on gathering of more than 50 people, like at your, I guess at your crib or whatever. That's over. You know what I'm saying? It's basically like, yo, we can roll this thing back on out. What's cracking?
Speaking of rolling it all the way, I don't know if you saw this, but the Texas Rangers, their season opener was full capacity. It was 40,000 strong. They didn't know about, there was no social distancing. The whole stadium was packed.
Yeah, Texas said everything was 100% open first. They was one of the first ones. We wide open. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're going for it. I have noticed since the vaccine's been out, the social distancing has gotten way lax.
Oh, man.
There's a lot of, I was at the grocery store today, motherfucker up on my neck at the grocery store. I had to kind of, yo, my man, I had to give him to my man. Like, do we not forget? I think he might have got the needle and he felt invincible.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, everybody, that's
what we dealing with now.
That's it. That's what it is. It's by summer, boy, they going to have this thing full tilt.
Yeah, it's back.
You know what I'm saying? So
it's back. Yep, man.
So it's get the needle or get out the way.
Hey, right. Stay in the house. Exactly. If you ain't vaccinated, stay your ass in the house because this shit is full contact again. This is back. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I feel the it's pulsating, you know what I'm saying? It's pulsating. I think this summer is going to be,
it's going to be a payback summer.
Oh, my goodness.
It's going to be a lot of YOLO energy. If you made it this far, you know, you realize, you know, this is, life is worth living. It's going to be a lot of, woo-wee, it's going to go crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of streaming for me. Wow, that's really going down out there.
Said streaming, you gonna get yourself a summer avatar?
Summer avatar. I mean, you know, everybody gonna be live streaming from the gram and from wherever else. And man, just as much as DJs was live streaming during the quarantine, it's gonna be the consumers live streaming life.
Right. Yeah, they're gonna be out in the world.
who gonna be the D Nice of the reopening?
Right. Shit, D-Nice gonna be ready for that reopening. Oh, everybody D-Nice said, you know, he's set up. Nice. This DJ Nice.
This nigga changed his whole reality.
Oh, yeah. Nah, that shit is, it's different. It's different, man. That shit, yeah. That's like, fucking, talk about Drake. Right. Shit. D-Nice is actually the ticket.
He ain't gonna be available.
Not at all.
He's not available. Yeah, man. I got that change of whole reality. I was hanging out with my man Sean P. He's the director of photography. And he's working on a show out here in Atlanta. So I connected with him, you know what I'm saying? He's the one who kind of helped me get in the game, you know what I'm saying? Showing me how to, you know, the tidbits of what need to happen as far as shooting content and
camera work.
And camera work and getting, he told me which camera to get, which lens to get, you know what I'm saying? He set me up. So we was kicking it, and then we were talking about Blitz the Ambassador, who came up with us in Brooklyn as well, part of the whole little collective. He's a rapper, you know what I'm saying? Sean and Terrence Nance used to shoot all his videos. Then he produced his own movie, The Burial of Kojo. And that went, you know, Sundance. You know what I'm saying? It got all the critical acclaim. You know what I mean? Like, when you do an independent film, that's how you want to come out of it. You know what I mean? So he won with it. And now he's doing the Color Purple musical film for Oprah Winfrey and Steven Spielberg. So
that's a good look.
Yeah, it's a $100 million film. Like you did your first joint independent, then you come back to a $100 million film, which Sean was like, he's gonna change his whole reality. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, you're right. And so me and Sean went back to the crib. I went walking the other way on the Beltline, and then Cat rolled up on me, and it was him. It was Blitz. Like, yo. You know, and I'm always amazed that motherfucker recognized you with the mask on in a whole nother city. You know what I'm saying? He rolled up on me strong, like, yo, what up? I'm like, oh shit. I mean, 10 minutes ago, we just talked about you changing your whole reality. So
that's crazy.
That was a wild moment in out here in the world. So shout out to Blitz and shout out to Changing Your Realities. If you're doing something, go ahead and do it.
Is there any place you could see The Burial of Kojo? Is that streaming anywhere?
Yeah, I'm sure it's Netflix. It was official. It went to all the major things. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm not sure if it's still, you know how they put it up for a certain time. But I would assume it's streaming wherever you stream.
Okay. Check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's on Netflix. Okay, it's on Netflix.
Speaking of that type of thing, there's another Two Distant Strangers, a short that's coming out that I've been excited to see for a minute. Trayvon Free, he's a comic, but he's a comedy writer that has worked for The Daily Show for a long time. He's probably done a bunch of other shit, but that's what I know him most by, that and, you know, being on Twitter or whatever. But he created this short. I think they shot it. Yeah, they shot it in COVID. They did this short with Joey Badass as the lead. And it's basically like, the premise is basically like Groundhog's Day for police brutality. You know what I mean? So, like, he waking up at this lady's crib and, you know what I'm saying? He trying to get back home to his dog. You know what I'm saying? Get back to the crib. And every time he leave the house, or every time he leaves her house to go back to his crib, he gets into some type of altercation with the cops. And it's just a revolving thing, goes on and on and on and on. And it got nominated for an Oscar. So, you know, I'm excited to see it. I know KD and Diddy are EPs on there. So... yeah, it comes to Netflix on the 9th, so I'm excited to check that out.
So it's a short or is it a full film?
No, it's a short. It's a short. It may, maybe it develops into a full film, but right now it's a short. It's Oscar nominated. But I like the premise. I think it's cool. I'm curious. You know, I like to see, you know, I like watching productions that were made during COVID. You know what I'm saying? Because they, you know, just the parameters are so much more limited, just to see how they made it happen. So, but, and then just hearing the story about it or whatever. And then, you know, I'm curious to check that out. You know, kind of in the spirit of what you said with The Burial of Kojo, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just, you know, it's just how you come in the game. Sometimes you just got to get in the game, you know, and then hell yeah, your whole life can change because it's different. It's different now. So,
I mean, no matter what you do, you know what I'm saying? To do something changes your life. And it might not be to the extremes that, you know, we just, you know, outline, but everything changes once you drop some shit. Once you go on to the other side of having completed a project, everything else changes because you go from somebody who's talking about it to somebody who's being about it. You know what I'm saying? And who told me that? When I did the magazine, Dowie, when I gave Dowie a copy of the magazine, Dowie from public school, and he told me that. He was like, you have crossed over to the side of people who've done it. You know what I'm saying? No matter how it turns out, you know what I'm saying? Everything's different now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the truth. You know what I'm saying? And that particular project was not successful for me as a business, but it was successful in setting me up as a person who was about getting stuff done. And it took me to different lands. It took me to different places. You know what I'm saying? It was ups, it was downs, but everything was different. It was not the same.
Well, that's what's up. Yeah. No, I believe that. And I guess it is successful. I mean, you know, maybe not as a business, but it definitely changed some shit. It opened some doors. So, you know, still a win.
And speaking of that same concept, I'm watching a documentary now, which what is that shit called? General Magic. It's on Showtime, you know. I think it's on Amazon Prime, but I think it's Showtime right now. But General Magic is about the team who basically created the iPhone. So, and it's a whole lot of other inventions that they did in there. But, you know, right now I'm on the part where it was a team from Apple. They set off to another company, a separate company, to create what we know as the iPhone. You know, they didn't have a name for it. One dude had the idea. They thought it was such a big ass idea that they set up a whole nother company to get it done. And, you know, obviously changed the world. But I'm in the beginning of it. But it's that same concept of that company failed. That company is nothing, not no more. You know what I'm saying? It don't even exist. But the stuff that they created there went on, and the people who helped create it went on to do big things, great things.
That's what's up. That's good. Check that out, General Magic. I wonder how involved they are with the iPhone now, because I got some
questions.
Yeah, got a couple concerns and a few, want to know a few things, but.
You got to take that up with your boy.
I got to holler at old Tim Cook. Whatever.
You've been dogging Tim since he
got the job. I told you, man. I'm going to shit on him like this is my team. Like how they shit on the Knicks. That's how I come for Apple. Till I feel like there's a winning season, at least for me.
Right.
You know. They definitely know that I'm still at the 7, though, because on my Twitter, everything I get is telling me to upgrade. It is targeted. It's like, yo, this... If you got a 7, you could do this with the 12. You know what I mean? Like they all in my business. They know for sure.
Right.
So anyway. Shout out to the General Magic Squad.
Mm-hmm.
What else is going on? Trying to think. Ain't too much, honestly. it's really not too much. I'm not in the world just yet.
No doubt.
And, I'm not in the world all the way. I saw the trailer for that Without Remorse movie, the new Michael B. Jordan, Tom Clancy situation.
Mm-hmm.
That shit looks good. Looks like a... Looks like, you know, we could use an invincible Negro. You know what I'm saying? It's been a minute since we've had one. Probably Luke Cage might have been the last one. But, you know, I always appreciate a nigga that you can't kill. You know what I'm saying? And it looked good. It looked good. He was at ease, too, whipping ass. That was the beauty of it. Go ahead.
I saw the shit. It was like, you know how you get one of them pre-rolls on YouTube?
Yeah.
And, you know, skip ad in 5 seconds and you have your finger on the trigger every time. Yeah. Like, shit, come on now. Come on. Yeah. And then,
right.
Shit, 4 seconds in, I was like, hold up. You know what I'm saying? I made the screen big. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, wait. What the fuck going on? The shit went off. I went to the motherfucking actual video and watched it again. I was like, hold up, what the fuck going on here? But you're right. He whooped ass with ease. Like, I guess, you know, the Creed movies and all that training got him in a place where he can actually do that action shit. You know what I'm saying? Well, it looked like right. He can. Shit, he looked better than Jason Bourne doing that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's way more convincing. Go ahead.
And this was the final trailer. I had never heard of the shit. You know what I'm saying? And this was the final trailer. So when I went back to look it up to send you the link, it gave me another version of it. And I'm like, wait a minute. And it started off totally different. It was, you know what I'm saying? It was more like a traditional movie. In these kind of situations, and they start off in the war room with the CIA and, you know what I'm saying?
Big screens.
Yeah, so it's like, it didn't have the same impact as the way they started, the one I sent you. But the beauty of that trailer that I sent you was that whoever was the music editor to it, they went off. They went off, dog. Because, you know what I'm saying? They took bits and pieces of songs. They didn't just play one record. They like took all of these different pieces with the sound design, and they was cutting that shit in. Like every time he, you know what I'm saying, hit somebody in that original scene, you'll hear Kendrick say, I don't give a, you know what I'm saying? And then, and then when you skip through and you get, and they show Lauren London, you hear Nipsey rapping.
Oh, I didn't catch.
You know what I'm saying? Nipsey come in rapping. I'm like, oh, these motherfuckers killed this shit. You know what I'm saying? They killed it. Like, if you want to look it up, it's the Without Remorse final trailer, Amazon Prime. You know what I'm saying? So, they went off with the music and how they set that shit up. Like, that shit was dope.
Yeah, like my favorite part of the joint was where he sets the car on fire and then jump in the car with the cat. To talk some shit to him. That shit is just so intense. That reminds me of I forget what line. I think it's a Jada line where he say, about to go to hell with you. Blow the hell with you. It's just like, yeah, that shit, it felt like that. Like he was like, oh nah, it ain't over. I know this shit is on fire, but I gotta get my answers. He jumped in the whip with him. Yeah, man. So yeah, that should be good. We need that right now. Yeah. You know what I mean?
They sold me on that. I was like, yo, this shit look dope.
Yeah, shit is dope. That's a good one. Oh, man. What else is going on? Yeah, man.
What you got going on around there?
Man, just shit. Just trying to work, man. Just working. Trying to work on process. You know what I'm saying? Like, I dip back into that book I was telling you about. I forget what it's called again. Let me find the name of the book. But basically just doing shit, not really being too wedded to the outcome or even the intention, but just trying to create a process of, you know, every day I'm going to do this, and it's not dependent on metrics, it's not dependent on response, it's not dependent on anything. It's just dependent on, you know, the ritual of doing it. So that now it becomes more the lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just becomes more the thing to do, get shit done, get in the habit of just creating. You know what I mean? Like, just tapping back into the creation shit. I've been kind of on that. Go ahead. What you about to say?
Anything public?
Not anything public just yet, man. Okay. I'm just, you know, I'm still trying to just get back to, not anything public right now. A lot of beta shit right now. But like, honestly, I'm really trying to lock in on this video editing shit. Because I think that's going to be, you know, that and some screenwriting shit. Those are the things. You know, I've been watching a lot of movies, reading a bunch of shit, trying to, you know, like, dancing around it, but it's time to really just dive in. You know what I mean? And not be intimidated by a blank page or whatever like that. You know, I had a conversation with a good friend of mine who's super creative, and you know, just about the about just doing that shit. You know what I'm saying? We was talking about a movie that we saw that wasn't the best, but it was to back to your point about it's done. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? It's not just a thought. It's not a premise. It's done. Now the conversation changes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes it's just, you just got to get in the conversation. You exactly. know, I know a podcast like that.
That's but, the main thing of it all.
That's the main thing of it all, you know. About to go to hell with you. Blow the L with you. That shit is so wild. But yeah, no, so just doing that. I came across, might be an opportunity to get a different type of apartment within this building, but it's a few little hoops that are going on, so I don't know if it's going to all the way work out. Just because due to how my lease is set up, it might, you know, I'm trying to finagle or finesse a way to where I'm not on the hook for my joint if I move to this other one, which is a bigger situation and is actually cheaper. You know what I mean? And it will be a come up. Shit is nice load and some renovations. You know, it's so funny. Like, just a little bit of renovation to make it'll make your shit look antiquated. You like, damn, that's what they doing there. It's like looking at a 12 and you got the 7. I'm living in an iPhone 7. But, you know, we'll see what it is. I'm trying not to get my hopes too far up, you know, because it's just in case this shit don't work. I'm right. in a cool spot, I'm not going to lie. But right. it would kind of, you know, it would be ill just to swap it out. So
we'll you already bust the move on it, though, right?
Well, we're in the midst of it now. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to, again, like, it's kind of not all the way. Like, we're still we got some terms to kind of negotiate. And then it's kind of on some real shit. It's more so like, is it worth it? At some point, you kind of got to say, nah, it's going to be too much, you know, because there's a lot more, you know, the biggest thing is I would be on the hook for both apartments. So that as it stands now, it's kind of more like you rolling the dice on if they could rent this joint sooner than later. Mm-hmm. Because the you know, if they keep going, I gotta pay for that. I can't do that. So that's really the thing. So I'm trying to work that out. We're in the midst of the conversation. It would be kind of cool. But again, and I hate this type of thing about, you know, housing, especially in New York, you know, like it's so much, it's almost like playing lotto in a certain way. Like, you could start imagining your new life. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? You say, oh, I'm gonna put this shit right here. I'm gonna throw that right there. You start living it already. Mm-hmm. And you don't do that until the paper is signed. You know what I'm saying? Don't do it to yourself. Don't hurt yourself. So I'm trying
Or you got to be, you know what I'm saying? You got to be okay with hurting yourself. You know what I'm saying? You got to be okay.
Yeah, which is true. Yeah.
Sometimes you need that energy to help complete it. You need that visionary energy to help get it all the way to the finish line.
I like that.
It's certain clients that I've worked with, you know what I'm saying? And they might be like, you know, they might not be the best at whatever. You know, they might not be the best of people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Right. They might just be, you know, some of them assholes. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or some of them were cool. They just wasn't very dope at what they do. But the thing that I noticed about a couple of these people is that they weren't afraid to shoot that shot and ask the ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know you ain't going there and ask these motherfuckers this. And they just went in there and asked them motherfuckers that. And and sometimes they get it. And they'd be like, God damn, that's how this shit work. You know what I'm saying?
And it ain't even ridiculous no more. Because they pulled it off. Yep.
They pulled it off. And it was just merely the fact that they asked. And they was like, you know, it just makes, I've been here this long time. And blah, 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 woo, 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 bing, bing, bing. Blah, blah. By the time they talked the motherfucker to death, they like, well, go, shit, you know what? You right. Go here. Oh, fuck it. Go ahead. You know what I'm saying? It had no reservations about asking for what they want. As Bevy would say, I have no fear or trepidation about asking about my coin. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, they had no fear of trepidation when it came to getting the shit that they want.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably more than half the battle, to be totally honest with you. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's real shit. You got to, you know, got to remember that. You got to remember that shit. Yeah, that's real.
It ain't like you just walked off the street. These motherfuckers know you.
Nah, they know me. They know me. I pay their shit on time.
I'm saying,
yeah, yeah, I got, yeah. No, you gotta do that. You gotta do that shit. You know, it's another thing that you gotta do. Just if we on some upliftment type shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, nah, shout out to, you know, word out. We on some upliftment shit. I was watching the Drink Champs with Cam, right? Mm-hmm. And I always fuck with Cam. You know, we always talk about that shit. One of the best shit talkers in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he said that I thought was so ill, which I've done something different, but maybe not just as pointed. But, you know, he was like, you know, sometimes I forget what the question was, but well, basically his shit was like, you know, oh, they were like, yo, have you ever felt like you went to Hollywood? And he was like, nah, I never felt like I went Hollywood. I said, I felt Hollywood before I even got in this shit. Like, you know, I always felt good about me. He was like, I'm the type of nigga, I get up, I look in the mirror, and I just have a conversation with myself about 10 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Just letting me know I'm that nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, somebody might bump into the, you know, somebody might, you know, catch me off guard in the middle of the shit. I'm like, nah, I'm just having a moment with me. You know what I mean? He was just like, you know, he said shit, nigga. He said, sometimes I get on the treadmill. You know what I mean? I practice how my hat gonna lay. I get on the treadmill and I practice how I'm gonna walk up the block. You know what I mean? I was just like, yo, that shit. I fuck with that. But it's real shit. Sometimes you gotta, you know, you gotta listen. Not even sometimes, all the time. You gotta be your, you know, everybody says, you know, I'm my own worst enemy. You gotta be your number one fan, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You gotta be the one. You gotta be the fighter in the corner, man. So you know, just man, and be bold about your life. Cause if we didn't learn anything from 2020, again, this shit is finite, and this is every moment is fragile. So you know why you're here, shit, man. See the elasticity on this shit. See the elasticity on these dreams and these ambitions and shit like that. You know, yeah. Don't be afraid. Go all out. Go all out. Yeah, man.
All
that's what I call. Yeah.
True indeed. True indeed. Good things. Good things.
Yeah, man.
You catch that versus?
Oh yeah, I caught the. Speaking of, yeah, I caught the versus. I caught the versus. I enjoyed it. It was interesting though, because I was a little distracted because I was watching, you know, I told y'all before I was going to watch these SAG awards because I was invested this time. I voted.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to watch the SAG awards. Now, what I will say, and it was funny because I'm sure they didn't know that the Versus was going to be on the same day. What I appreciate, and I even tweeted about it, what I appreciate about the SAG awards, you know, in contrast with all these other award shows, that shit was 60 minutes on the dot. That shit was, they gave out 15 awards in 60 minutes. They were, it went in and out like the burger. That shit was official. Because all these shits are Zoom calls for the most part anyway. So right. They did what they needed to do. They gave the awards away, and they were in and out. So I get right back to the verses.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit, it was a little distracted because sometimes I'm trying to watch the SAG Awards, but then I still got the, you know, Versus in the background playing.
Mm-hmm.
What I respected, well, there's a couple things, but what I liked a lot about the Versus was particularly this one. One, the music was fire, right? Mm-hmm. The music was fire. And what made it so dope, which I saw in the live, I saw D-Nice going live with Kenny Burns. And so he's recapping his experience, what I thought was spinning at the Versus. No, he curated that shit. He was the one that put that whole, that's why it flowed the way it flowed. It wasn't like, you know, it felt like a vibe all the way through. Like it was, sometimes Versus could be choppy. Sometimes Versus could be like, oh, they played that one or da-da-da-da-da, like, he DJ'd that shit. You know what I'm saying? DJ'd in a, you know, on a higher level. Like they right. left it up to him. Or Swiss said, yo, we want you to do this. You know what I mean? And then You know, so I thought that was kind of cool. I like Steve Harvey as a host, but it felt like I like Steve Harvey just because he's going to be Steve Harvey consistently, mm-hmm. even though he took 1,000 shots at hip hop. But that's already established. He don't really fuck with hip hop.
Yeah, he's been doing that.
He's been on that shit. So it's nothing new, but it was just like any shot he could get, he went in on hip hop. Like, I tell you another thing, you know, but
he was in an old head moment, dog. You know what I'm saying? It was his world.
It was, yeah, man. It was his porch. It was his own one man cookout with you know what I mean, with Earth, Wind and Fire and the Isleys. So I respected that because I appreciated that he was, you know, having the time of his life. These are mm-hmm. his heroes. This motherfucker loves this music. You know what I mean? However, it was a deviation from what Versus is, mm-hmm. right?
No doubt. Like, no doubt.
Because I seen somebody tweet like, you know, I think Steve is actually doing a great job as the host because honestly, you know, nobody really would like to hear what these people think about their records. And I'm like, huh? And this is somebody of the culture that tweeted mm-hmm. that. So I'm like, wait a minute. First of all, like, you act like you ain't watched Versus since the beginning. That is the thrust of the whole shit. Like, and mm-hmm. the thing is, like, damn, you just sold them short. Like, they could make these amazing records. You don't think they got no insight about these fucking amazing records? Like, the mm-hmm. one little bit of insight that I caught that I thought was really cool was when Ron Isley's brother, I hate that, got to call him Ron Isley's brother. I'm going to go to Google, but for right now, Ron Isley's brother, not Ron, he said, you know, when they write their love songs, they write it as a way to compliment these women. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, every time you listen to the lyrics, just look at that from that angle. Like, every time what we're saying, you know, we're complimenting them. Obviously, I mean, it sounds... It might not sound that profound because obviously that's maybe the aim, but just to hear it that like that was the actual intention. Like this is how we're going to compliment it through these records, and this is why these records are that hard because the shit that we saying, mm-hmm. you know what I mean. So yes, I would have appreciated a little bit more, you know, banter from the artists themselves. That mm-hmm. would have been kind of cool. Steve is funny, so that was funny. And then the spinoff with Afion and what's my man's name? Afion Godfrey. What's my man's name from the D? Kareem Biggins. But it's, oh, shit. My man, he be on Insta. Ah, why am I not? They always, Afion and him always do the recap.
Oh, Spice Adams, yeah.
Yeah, Spice Adams. So Spice Adams, Afion, Crockett, and Godfrey got on. And I don't know if you saw that shit, but that shit was funny because, you know, Godfrey's Steve Harvey impression is the best. Like, he got that. I don't think nobody else really does. Maybe Keenan. But I don't think nobody's really cornered the market on the Steve Harvey impression. And if they do, mm-hmm. now they got to talk to Godfrey.
Right.
But, yeah, that shit was funny as shit.
So,
but, what you think? How'd you feel?
I think they did a great job with the lessons that they've learned over past verses. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? You know, when you get a group of people, like when you got a group, it never really plays well because everybody, you know, all these different voices have to say their piece. You know what I'm saying? So having a curator like, you know, Dean Ice and then Steve Harvey moderating, I guess he didn't do as good of a job moderating as he probably mm-hmm. could have. But right. the idea of having somebody to moderate the conversation was a good idea because you got guys up there that's not of the digital generation. You know what I'm saying? Ron Isley, right. like they dropped their first record in 1959. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He said, you know what I mean? So, and I didn't even know that was their record originally, their Shout record. Make you want to shout. Hey, yeah. Hey. I didn't know they made that first. I thought that was, right. you know what I'm saying, like Lil Richard older or somebody.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
And he's like, that's they make more money off that record than any of the other ones.
I could imagine. Yeah, you know that's what I'm saying? Shit, that's the joint that they play like at the...
Yeah.
Look at them big games and
stadiums
shit like
and all
that.
Yeah. yeah. So anybody who remade it, they still getting paid off of it. And you know, I remember back in the 90s when he came back as Mr. Big, there was a thing like, you know, Ron Osley has had a hit in 5 consecutive decades or something, or 4 at that time. You know what I'm saying? So now it's 6. He got a hit in every decade for the last 6 decades. You know what I'm saying? Well, 6 consecutive decades. So to, you know, but him at, on his own devices, you know what I'm saying? He might not, you know, curate it the best. You know what I'm saying? Or it might not come off the best way it can when you got, you know, his brother want to talk and it's nobody there to kind of control the pace. So, and you know, you know, and then you might have, like say you had the older people who may not really be checked into the culture of Instagram or whatever this digital culture. So you got different pieces to help shore that up. So I appreciated that. I appreciated that they gave an opportunity to, you know, have a guitar and the band, you know what I'm saying? Like, and to actually do it more as, okay, they're going to perform some shit here and, you know what I mean, we'll do a little talking. So I appreciate it. Instead of it's like Gladys and Miss Patty just sitting there, you know what I'm saying, playing the records. Then they might jump in a little bit here and jump in a little bit there. But I think this platform, at least for the older generations, it gives them a better look, to look better and not to kind of step on their own toes.
And they bands too. So both right. of them are bands, so it makes more sense with them.
Right. Nah, so you know what I'm saying, I appreciated how they thought about it and added some elements that makes it work. And I know I talk a lot of shit of it not being the way it used to be in the pandemic and all that shit, but I think it was very appropriate the way that they did it this way. And to have D-Nice, you know what I'm saying, take the pressure off of them or trying to come up with the songs. And you know what I'm saying, it's just like, y'all just show up. You know what I'm saying? We're going to play some joints and we're going to have some conversation. You know what I mean?
That's when you got a lot of hits, when you could just let somebody else handle that shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's when you wealthy with hits. Go ahead, play what you feel.
I'm talking about wealthy. You know what I mean?
When you got, when you ain't got that many hits, you're a little bit more particular. Like, hold on. Wait. Play number 4.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so.
But as we see, even with the hip-hop artists, sometimes they get in their own way. They picking songs that might not necessarily should have been picked. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know you might like that joint, but that ain't going to get you to win. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
So you know, I think they're evolving, and we're watching it evolve in real time. Obviously, they got a whole lot more budget from Triller than they ever had because they got full-on production now.
Yeah, how'd you watch it? Did you watch it through Triller or no?
I watched it on my phone. And
okay. And
for real, a lot of it I did not watch. I listened. I just had it playing. That's when you got a wealth of hits. You know what I'm saying? The music is, like you say, D-Nice, the way he put it together, it was just a vibe. So I let it play and I listened to it when they talk. You know what I'm saying? You could hear it and, you know, you into it. But the music is so good that you could just let it rock.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I downloaded Triller, but then they wanted a whole bunch of information. I was like, man, I'm not fucking with a whole nother app for the, you know what I mean? Like, let me keep it. You know what I mean? I was like, I'm all right. I deleted that immediately.
Terrible.
Wrapped up in one of them. Shout out to them. They got the bag already, so it is what it is. And Triller, I'll be there on the,
Triller is the OG. You know what I'm saying? Triller was around for TikTok, well, musically. You know what I'm saying?
That is true.
The first video we did, my son did a video. We was at Christmas. We was doing like a Christmas Eve joint at my sister's house. And my son said, let's make this video. And we made the video. And, you know, he did it. You know how they have it. Like, you do it in little pieces and shit like that. And we did it. It turned out great. You know what I'm saying? It was a fun little video. That was the first one I ever did like that. And it was on Triller. So, you know, they were the OGs.
Hopefully this helps them reestablish themselves between this and, you know, that whole Nate Robinson, Logan Paul fight, the Tyson and Roy Jones joint. Mm-hmm. Those are the two big wins of Triller from this last 6-7 months.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they on a upswing. We'll see what's what. But at this moment, I did not sign all the way up. I treated that like you treated the vaccine. I got to where they was asking for too much information. I said, I'm fine. I'm going to go the other route.
Right.
I'm going to go the other route. Keep my mask on. Right. Yeah, man. But Yeah, it was cool though. It was cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so that was that, man. Oh shit. Yeah.
So shout out, I shout out to the old school, and shout out to the music from that era that we, you know, is my parents' music, but we grew up on it, you know what I'm saying? Cuz that's what was in the air. You know what I'm saying? And shit is, and you know, over the past few years, like, I mean, I've talked about it on here, you see a certain generation of younger people that appreciated that music, even though it wasn't really part of their growing up as far as pop culture, but apparently they may have heard it from their parents or grandparents or whatever, and they were into that style of music, like, ever since, you know, it might have been about 4 or 5 years ago, I saw just a certain era of young people that was rocking with the Frankie Beverleys and the Earth, Wind and Fires, and like, man, what these kids is jamming to the shit my mama then was on, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you know, everything comes around, and it's good that, you know, these guys got to show their faces in front of a very diverse range of ages, you know what I'm saying, in this present time. Like Ron Osley, he reinvented himself plenty of times, you know what I'm saying? When he came back as Mr. Biggs, like, he was a whole new artist, you know what I'm saying? It was like he was brand new, like a new artist coming on the scene as an OG. But he had been here, you know what I'm saying? So him coming out with the beard, with the gray beard, you know what I'm saying? Like, he reinvented himself again.
Yeah, now you had him going crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, women half his age lusting.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He took it in stride. Their shit, Earth, Wind, and Fire, the Isleys, it's like good furniture. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, you know, like, you might grow up around good furniture, but you don't know it but nothing as just the couch. You know what I'm saying? That ain't nothing but that. Oh, yeah, that's a nice, that's the coffee table. But then you get older, you've been living life, and then you come back, you see that couch is sturdy-ish. That coffee table still look, that's good wood. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, it's just like, yo, no, it's like, oh shit, this shit is quality shit. This ain't no IKEA. This ain't no bullshit. This ain't no Formica or no particle wood. This shit here, this is sturdy. This shit, so it's like, it just lasts the test of time. Like, it, that was a total, like, this lasted the test of time, and you realize it. It's one of those, I commented, I was like, that's the type of music where you want to have good speakers. You know what I mean? Like a real good system, some Jerome's, jamming Jerome type of system situation with nice EQs and good tweeters and a nice nice couple woofers. You know what I'm saying? Where it hit that bass rolling nice.
Bass rolling man. Nice.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
And speaking of rolling and nice, that was a cool little segue. Our snowfall recap. Ooh. I mean, I didn't want it to be that cool. Ooh. But I mean, sometimes you gotta go with the momentum.
Ooh, we are here. We at that point in the process to where we drop the snowfall.
Yeah, we might as well. Unless you got something else to get off your chest.
You don't introduce the snowfall and go back. Man, you go ahead and pull the trigger.
Right. It's like cutting up the record for a second and you bring it back and then you put on some other shit. They're like, nigga. Come on. I thought you
were here.
We are in the building, man. Snowfall once again. We queuing you up for tonight because you know we got another episode, but let's take a look back. Last week was something, man. I mean, first off, I just gotta say, Papa Saint killed the vibe, man. You know what I mean? Man.
That's how you started it off. Okay, I mean, go ahead and get it out the way.
That was the theme of the whole shit. We're gonna get to all the peripheral, but I'm not going to lie. That affected me the most of everything during the episode. Like, that shit there, man, I hate to feel. I felt like Franklin. I'm like, this motherfucker might as well start smoking crack again because you done fucked the whole shit up, man. Just go ahead, man. You done took asunder. But we could double back to that. What did you see? How'd you feel about it? Let's talk about it.
Well, actually, he was an alcoholic, not a crackhead.
Right. Well, shit. He might as well
just put a little disclaimer. He might as well go ahead and hit the pipe. But
you might as well.
I mean, yeah. I'm going to start by saying this. You know what I'm saying? It's episode 8, which is usually one of those transition episodes, right? And that's what this was, like a bridge. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a whole lot of key things that happened. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this was one of the best episodes of them all. You know what I'm saying? And I would say that not just because of what happened in it. It wasn't a lot of action. The writing was spectacular in this piece. You know what I'm saying? The setups for whatever is to come, they did it in a way. A lot of times you get these setups, and like in other shows, and we ain't going to name no other shows because we don't want to be petty. But a lot of times, you know, you get these bridge episodes, and it kind of just be a throwaway. You're like, man, they didn't do shit. Mm-hmm. So this one, as a bridge episode, what they did was, they not only gave you some crucial information and things, but they made that shit funny in the midst of being serious as fuck. You know what I'm saying? It's like the show start off like with a logo. You can't even read the word no more, Snowfall. It's just a whole mess, which is, you know what I'm saying, what's going on right now. But somehow it was so many one-liners in this goddamn episode. You know what I'm saying? As we talk,
what were some of your favorites? What you remember?
Oh, man. You feeling froggy, nigga, then jump. You know what I'm saying?
I ain't maxed the nigga out in a minute.
Right. I've been itching to max a nigga out. You know what I'm saying? This nigga say, the girl, when they brought the wrong Leon to man boy, old girl said, all ones, please, and thank you.
$5,000 in ones, which was hilarious.
All ones, please, and thank you. Like, she say, we got babysitters for this. like that matters.
You gotta do something. You gotta cut us something. And even Khadijah was like, you should have gave them a little something. They good people.
You know what I'm saying? They was killing them with the one-liners. But what started them off is Uncle Jerome. This was his breakout episode for me. You know what I'm saying? One, he already 38 hot. That they kept him in the dark about Reed, right?
Yeah.
So he hot. So he throwing jabs. He took it. He took it on the chin, but he throwing jabs like a motherfucker the whole way. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of darts.
They sitting around talking about, you know, Franklin, grandma might have not liked Alton. And then, you know what I'm saying? Uncle Jerome like, yeah, she would have shot him with 38. And then old Louie talking about, I don't know what she would have thought about me. Uncle Jerome, you sure don't. Man, he was killing him.
Shade.
He killed him with the shade. With the favorite, my other one, when Leon came to get some assistance with the OGs, and he was like, don't worry about it, I'm going to go with you. And then, you know, she over there like, what? Why would you go out there? You know what I'm saying? Sorry. Like, we already, you know what I'm saying, messed up. Then he was like, you know, you told me we got to keep doing business for the CIA, man.
He ain't say the CIA, man,
though. Yes, he did.
In front of Leon?
No, no, Leon had already walked out. Leon had already walked out. It was just him and Aunt Louie.
Right. Okay.
Keep doing business for the CIA, man.
right. Yeah.
That shit was funny.
He tight. And I like that. I like that lingers from the past episode, because typically episodes, shit like that might not even spill over to the next episode. It's just, you know what I mean? Yeah, that was dope. But keep going.
But, you know, again, that whole Alton snitching and Reed over there trying to figure out his money situations. And you notice every time a nigga get on the plane with Avi had been done ripped their ass off, you know what I'm saying? Or trying to, you know what I'm saying? Right. When he took Franklin to Panama, he was trying to rip him off. You know what I'm saying? Now he got Reed over there. He got a missing $15 million, no guns. Yeah. And, you know, he found out that they tried to rip him off. Now they put the money back, but he wanted to get to the bottom of it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Which was kind of a theme, you know what I'm saying, in this episode. So, but it was all about them projects, this episode. Uncle Jerome going to projects, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, we got the new OG who signed the shit out of Leon on some real OG shit. And Leon is in that place where he's finding out that you can't just bully your way through the game, or, you know what I'm saying? He already knew he didn't have the finesse part of it, but he's realizing how important that part is, and he ain't got it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so we bring Jerome out there. Jerome walk up on the nigga and read him his whole dossier. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you Big D, right? You know what I'm saying? Your family up on over those there, you know what I'm saying? Your mama, your cousin is such and such, right? You know what I'm saying? Your bench about 350, four plates, nigga. That was another one line.
Yeah.
Like, don't disrespect me with the 350.
Nah, nigga, give me my whole shit, nigga. I max out. You know what I mean? I don't know if you heard about that. I max out.
Why you running down my dossier? Get it right.
He gave him his flowers and frankfurters. Pause if need. But he definitely gave him the, you know, I know you, I see you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like that was the hood version of I see you. You know what I'm saying? That was Ayanla of the projects.
But the subtle shit of what they did though. Mm-hmm. When, you know how I always get down on the face acting on Power?
Yeah.
They face acting was on point. It was actually authentic and legit to real shit. Because when Uncle Jerome rolled up on him, first of all, the camera angle already let you know that Uncle Jerome got size on the nigga, right? You know what I'm saying? Mm. And the nigga had to kind of think twice about it. When Uncle Jerome started reading him his whole script, you know, he gave him that up and down. You know how you look a nigga up from his shoes to his head? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He gave it. It wasn't no words. It was just that up and down that you do when you really considering, should I swing on this nigga? Or should I just listen to what this nigga got to say?
Letting you know, I know your whole shit. You don't know nothing about me, but I done sized you up. So trust me, I know how to handle you as well. Trust me. Listen, I thought this through. You know what I mean?
And both of their faces said everything that it needed to say besides the words. You know what I'm saying? It was an excellent display of face acting, you know what I'm saying, on the opposite end of the spectrum. You know what I'm saying? I loved it. I loved every, you know what I'm saying, the subtle, because black people got subtle things that they do that don't use words that let you know who got the upper hand and who is kind of, you know what I'm saying, bowing down to the situation, and they let you see that in that interaction. You know what I'm saying? So that shit was dope. And then how he did all that shit. You know what I'm saying? Then he broke into the sympathy. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Feel bad about your cousin. You know what I'm saying? Just let you know we gonna take care of that. He gonna kill him, get them niggas who did it. Gonna pay for the funeral. You know what I'm saying? Woo woo woo. And he didn't even give a nigga a chance to respond and all that. He nigga was just like, let's eat.
Right. Nah, I see you and it's settled. You know what I'm saying? Nigga. Like, yeah, let's go get something to eat, man. Go ahead. Yeah, nah, it was a good, that was one of the best moments. Yeah, there. Jerome definitely had a shining moment there. He gained project mediation, made it cool. You know what I'm saying? Because he did. He was like, nah, you got to let these people know that you there for them.
Right.
Because Leon is, you know, like you said, he bullies his way, and he's, you know, he's not really, he don't got the same, even though Franklin could get cold with it, Franklin is at least a little bit more hands-on, you know what I'm saying? Like, Leon is on the scene, but then the fact that he broke out and kind of just left these motherfuckers to kind of fend for themselves. And then Fatback turns around. He's dead. So it's like, damn, now you don't know if you could really rely on this motherfucker right here. His credit is kind of bad right now. You see homegirl pulled out, was about to kill her, had the bounty on his head still, which is kind of nervous.
That shit was another one-liner right there. Einstein. Thwarted, nigga. Okay. Nigga say thwarted.
Because he's Einstein. He's Einstein. Yo, Einstein, what's 356,721 times 13? Nigga's like, well, shit, that ain't nothing. But I was like, man, that was the hood Rain Man.
Hey, but, we talked about that last week with the hood geniuses in Disco Dave.
Yeah. Book the number without pad or pen. Remember that shit from Malcolm X?
Mm-hmm.
West Indian Charlie.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. Typically, the Reed storyline gets very Sabatka-esque, but this time I wasn't all the way mad because Sabatka from the Wire. Remember the Sabatka season, the second season, Sabatka down at the docks.
Oh shit! That's why I don't remember that shit. Yeah,
yeah, exactly, exactly. That's why. But that's what it feels like. It feel like two different shows. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, we about to go to White Snowfall now. Let's go over here to Reed and see what he doing. But that's what it feel like. The B side. And then, I wasn't mad at Reed going all the way. He got to find out who tried to steal his paper.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's extreme as fuck. But I was like, you know what? It's 15 million. I understand. Right. I understand. You need to get an eye on a motherfucker. Let him know that we can't have this.
And he need to know what the hell going on, because he got to continue getting these guns and shit going. So he need to know, which is, like I said, is a theme, because that's what, when old girl was about to shoot Leon, and he gave her the money, and Uncle Jerome like, nah. Mm-hmm. What else you know about this bounty? You know what I'm saying? Which probably is going to become key information that we didn't see what she said, but that's probably going to be key to whatever happens next.
Yeah, and then there's also, like, you know, they got tailed, so that's going to reveal itself too.
Mm-hmm.
There's still, what else did I see? We already talked about the bounty. T still not to be trusted. But what I've noticed, it seems to be a theme. This seems to be a scalp greasing season. This is the second scalp greasing that we've seen. Well, motherfucker, like that was the original therapy. Sitting between somebody, see what I'm saying, some woman's legs and letting her massage your scalp and getting all that hurt off your chest.
But now, you know what I mean? Did she say she was frying chicken skin? That's what she was putting in his head?
Was that what she was putting in his head?
Yeah, remember he said, like, what you burning in there? She was like, chicken skin.
Oh, I didn't know that was what she was using to grease his scalp.
That's the only thing it could be, because shit, what else? Because he was like, you know, T, I ain't hungry. And she was like, I ain't cooking for you. I'm, you know what I'm saying? And then she sat down and they put the towel around them and got to the head greasing.
Oh, I thought that was just some shit she was cooking independent of the grease. Wow.
They made it a point for her to say that she wasn't cooking. She's like, I ain't cooking.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't know about that. Oh yeah, it might be super old school. It's probably the best. It's probably like takes it to the whole nother level. But I just don't trust it. So I just don't know. I don't really trust nobody that just got a pan of chicken skin oil on deck. You know what I mean? Just on. You know what I mean? That's very Al Green. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to watch her. She just frying up oil like that, just willy-nilly? Nah. And you're not cooking? You just got this shit rationed off to the side? Nah. But it was a moment, you know, it was one of the moments that kind of maybe was put out there to kind of throw us off the trail. You know what I'm saying? Because for whatever reason, Franklin seems to really trust her. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's his refuge. That's his lady. Huh?
Franklin tripping.
Franklin's all the way off point still. I've been saying he's trying to bounce back, but it's been kind of slow. It isn't really, because there was one scene which I thought was interesting in the beginning where they were talking about, you know, all the shit that was going on and how things are kind of out of whack. And I forget, it was towards the beginning. And they were, you know, recounting all the shit, Fatback dying and other shit happening. And Franklin was way too jolly for everybody else. Everybody else's mood was down. Mm-hmm. Franklin was saying, nah, we good, baby. We gonna be out. You know, like, he was kind of like, he was a little manic in that moment. I never seen him looking that kind of like he's playing the hell out of this role, because he's definitely bouncing in a whole lot of different directions. So we gonna see what.
He was very James St. Patrick in that particular scene. Yeah. Not in the manic part, but just by saying, you know, we, you know, Fatback got killed, so we good. You know what I'm saying? Like, we ain't got, you know what I'm saying? We got the heat off our back. Like, shit, we could, you know, Leon about to get the projects back popping. Like, shit, we good. We going to get some new soldiers. And that was another thing, Uncle Jerome, when he said they was going to get some new soldiers, he looking like, nigga, like, don't be adding no more jobs to me because that's going to end up on me. And then when they walked out, he was like, Unc, you straight? Like, I'm fine. You know what I'm saying? That was the that was part of his shade of the whole show. That was his first shade line. I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Nephew, old punk ass nephew, ain't tell me about all shit. Leave me a fuck
a
alone.
Nigga in the dark.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, adding more jobs to my motherfucking resume. Shit.
Yeah. We gonna see what else. I'm curious what's gonna happen with this report, if they're gonna clip her or not. They, you know, like her storyline is outside of her about to drop this bomb, which we'll see how it resonates at all. I don't really got much patience for it. I mean, her and her man, you know what I mean? Them being on the outs. I'm not invested in either one of y'all. I mean, it is what it is. It's just sad, but come on now, you know, nobody, you know.
All that shit is random throw-ins. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, it's like, not the Docs episode, not the Docs season or what. It's the they got two seasons going on. They got the Docs with Reed now, and then they got, remember they had the teachers and all that shit. And
yeah, see, I like the teachers. You ain't like the teachers?
I like the teachers season. I like Michael and all that and all of that came out of that season. But the teachers themselves, yeah, you know what I'm saying? It was just adding more white people to the script.
I don't really remember. The thing I remember most about that season was, and I forgot my man's name. It wasn't Naaman. It was the other kid. And I think his mom's died. And at the end of it, he's sitting in the hospital and in the weight room. He's like, you going to save me? Are you going to save me
right now?
Oh, man, that shit was a sad moment. I was like, woo.
Yeah. He was fucked up.
Yeah. It was done. Yeah, that shit. That was collateral damage with a voice. Yeah, man. Yeah. He let you know. Don't forget about me. You know what I'm saying? This is shit. It's still some debris. Mm-hmm. But
shit getting crazy though.
Yeah, you got any predictions? I know you don't really like to do predictions.
Well, I've been kind of thinking about it. I've been looking at the whole equation, doing some research, you know what I'm saying, watching the trailers and shit like that. So, you know, in the trailers you get certain little clips of what's to come. And in the trailer we do see Louis in the hospital. You know what I'm saying?
Was it Louis?
Yeah.
Was Louis?
Yeah, because in the last trailer for episode 9 or whatever, they don't show her face. They clip it. But if you look back at the original trailer of the whole series, you see it's Louis in the hospital bed and Jerome like leaning over. So they do show in the original first trailer of Snowfall, they show Khadijah and them roll up blasting the funeral. So they probably gonna shoot up Fatback funeral, which that's in a trailer, so that ain't really a spoiler. So they're going to shoot up the funeral. I don't know if that's where Louis gets clipped or whatever. But Jerome about to turn into a whole another nigga.
And we ain't seen that. We haven't seen that. He's been bubbling.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know the potential, but you ain't ever seen him all the way unhinged.
Right. He was trying to be cool. You know what I'm saying?
And that's the worst motherfucker to click. Worst motherfucker to click off that's been, I'm trying to hold it together.
Right.
That is the worst motherfucker to detonate.
So Jerome about to flip into a whole nother person by the season's end. This is not in any trailers. It's just my own prediction. Take it how you want. I think Khadijah don't make it out of this season. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about Scully, but I don't think Khadijah makes it out of the season.
Why is that?
Because they just announced that she got a spinoff of All American.
Oh, damn. Business. It was business. Oh, shit. That's hilarious. First position, All American. Yeah, we got to go ahead and clip that storyline. I'm sorry to tell y'all. I know y'all liked her and all of that, but
Yeah, she's getting her own show. Like, they're spinning off All American of her going to a HBCU. So it's
that's what's up.
The new different world with you know what I'm saying? Because on there, she had a baby. She was pregnant on All American. And it was a, you know, she came from a good family. She got pregnant. And, you know, the cat from the good household thought it was his at first.
All right, don't spoil it because I'm going to get to All American as well.
Oh, shit.
All right. You watch All American?
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, Rob Hardy.
I know.
He shot the pilot episode, which means, you know, that's a very important role. The director who creates the pilot, you know what I'm saying, basically that creates tone. The tone for the whole thing. So he's a part of that show. Like, he's one of the producers or some shit like that. But so you know, I was in on it. I helped him get a Nipsey Hussle record in that first season. So yeah, so you know, I didn't watch it when it came out, but then when it hit Netflix, I was like, let me check this shit out. And I was like, yo, this shit is good. You know what I'm saying? It's rated, it's PG-13, but it's good. It's not like, you know what I'm saying? It's not like sappy or no 90210 shit. It got some real elements to it. And the acting.
Good things.
Yeah, and the acting is pretty authentic. It's not like Snowfall, where it's like, Snowfall is the rated R version of South Central. Right. This is the PG-13 version. So, but I think they do a great job in the acting. They do have, you know, some 90210 moments when they go out to Beverly Hills and shit like that. But, you know, you get through it.
Right,
it's pretty
it's
good.
All and, American. So you're trying to get all American.
Yeah. So I haven't caught this season. I haven't caught up on this season yet. I think they're done. So maybe I'll just binge it. But I haven't watched it.
How many seasons?
What's this, 3? I think this is 3.
Oh, wow, that's not too bad. That's doable. Was it 12 episodes or is it like long, like 22?
It ain't short like a Netflix season, so it might be like 15, something like that. Okay. I'm not sure. Because it's more than just like the, you know, Netflix had like 8 episodes a season or some shit. It's more than that. But I'm not sure how many it is. But she's getting a spinoff.
Okay, that's what's up.
So I didn't even know that was the same person. Somebody hit me to that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because I was saying, somewhere online I was saying, you know what I'm saying, I fuck with how she acted. Somebody was like, yeah, you know, that, you know, she getting a spinoff from All American. I'm like, oh, that's the same. Oh, wow.
Because
her role there was way more subdued. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
She came to life in this Snowfall shit.
Okay, I got to check it out because I like her in this. That's interesting. She might get clipped. That's an interesting thing. You do know that Alton is Calvin from Pain in Full.
Yeah, I do know. I mean, you know that motherfucker face. You so mad at that motherfucker. I don't care how old he get. Oh, motherfucking Calvin.
That nigga
was so disrespectful in Pain in Full.
Oh, man. Yeah, get a couple dollars. Yeah, he was a funny dude in that one. He was with the big ass gazelles.
But the crack era did that. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so much money coming to niggas who ain't have shit 2 weeks before. You know what I'm saying? You got all of these personalities that never had nothing, and now they got something, and it comes out in different ways. Some people start shining and flexing. Some people just turn into assholes. But it's just a mere reflection of who they already were. But now you put it on steroids in an unnatural way. Crack was unnatural. The way that shit happened, that shit happened at that time and it didn't happen again like that. You know what I'm saying? Maybe in Silicon Valley. You know what I'm saying? But that shit was his own thing and it was new and motherfuckers was acting crazy.
And it was at the dinner table like, listen, we about to go get something to eat. Here go like, some money.
First he was counting his money. Like, shit, yeah, shitting up in, man, let's go get something to eat at your mama dinner table. She done enslaved over this food.
Right. Yeah, we gonna step out. Here you go. That shit was so foul, man. Oh, man, old Calvin. Yeah, man. And look, I don't want to be insensitive to any people in recovery. You know what I mean? Because that's real deal. You know, I'm talking shit. I don't wish him being a crackhead, but I just will say that Alton disappointed the fuck out of me, man.
Yeah.
He done jangled the whole shit. He done pulled the fucking pin out, and this shit about to fall. And then this motherfucker want to start reciting poetry in the midst of all of this.
Man, I forgot about all that shit.
Yeah, man. If you don't get out of here with that old fucking Thoreau ass, you know, somebody called them old Langston. These niggas, what they, I forgot what they said.
Man, his motherfucking ass. But he did do the one thing that he did right, not right as far as the story, but as an actor.
He ordered a seltzer.
When he was sitting there deciding if he was gonna get a drink,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Because I could, you know what I'm saying? I ain't in that position, but I could feel the pain, you know what I'm saying, of that decision. You know what I'm saying? Because I've done that like it's Ramadan, right? Mm-hmm. And you sitting there, you ain't ate all day, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you got, you know, little things. If you travel over a certain amount of miles, you could break the fast, you know what I'm saying? Then make it up later. But then you try not to do that. So I remember one time I had a shoot in the Hamptons, which is like, you know, it's about 2.5 hours. It was enough miles for me to be excused for the day. And you know, I shot the thing. And then afterwards they had this like event or whatever. And they had the best smelling fried chicken. God. And that's like you know what I'm saying? That's like old nigga kryptonite type shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, man, should I just make me a little plissite? Nigga, I got an excuse, but should I not?
What was your excuse? The time zone?
Yeah, because you travel, like if you travel a certain amount of distance during that day, you're excused from the fast. You know what I'm saying? Mm. But that's probably when niggas was walking with camels and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So not when niggas just drove, you know, comfortably, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. 2 hours. So, you know what I'm saying? It probably took them 2 days to get that amount of distance. You know what I'm saying? So so when you travel, you get a excuse. But I was like, I don't usually take it. So, because I don't want to mess up my flow.
Right.
But boy... Right. That was sure a hard time looking at that damn, and it was golden. You know what I'm saying? It was like golden with no, you know, no burn marks on it, like no dark marks. It was all one complexion. Like shit, that looked like some good chicken.
Let me find out you a chicken colorist.
Oh, dog. Dog.
There you go.
Dog.
Lean in on it.
Dog. Not that I would no dog apply skin as chicken. Colorist, but the first time that I saw a chicken with an even tone all the way around, with no blemishes, that shit blew my mind. Cause you know, shit, where I come from, you know, that get a chicken character, you know what I'm saying? A little bit of brown right here, a little bit of, you know what I mean? Man, we was in Monticello, Florida, and my roommate was talking to some chick who lived out there, and her mama. We went out there to visit, and her mama was frying chicken, and this lady fried like regular, you know what I'm saying, iron skillet fried that chicken, dog. And I don't know if she know her even temperature or how to turn it, flip it the right time, or she had it on a timer, but her shit came, it's like somebody put it in a deep fryer, but this shit was on a pan, nigga. And that shit came out golden brown. You know what I'm saying? Insides well done. I'm like, how the fuck? Because usually sometimes when it's gold and then that shit might not all the way be
pink.
Yeah, it'd be pink on the inside. Her shit was all the way done. And that shit was all the way, you know what I'm saying, even toned.
That's an art. That's an art. Yeah. I've been fucking some chicken up a couple times.
I was like, wow, this lady's an artist.
Yeah, nah, that you get celebrated for that type of shit. You got your oil management.
Yeah, oil and temperature, you know what I'm saying? All that shit. I got that shit down packed on pancakes.
Oh, okay. All
you know what I'm saying?
That's good. That's tough, too.
Yeah, but the biggest mistake I made with pancakes, because, you know.
Too hot?
Nah, not too hot, because I figured out the temperature, the even temperature shit. But it's like, I used to like to put butter on every time I put a new one in, you know what I'm saying? But really, you got to let that pan just, you know what I'm saying, settle in and just leave it be. Let the first pancake take the hit and then keep it moving. And then you'll be able to get even tones because you ain't got that butter bubbling up under your batter. You know what I mean? So you got your pan even. You ain't got no extra sizzling from no butter, no shit like that. And you I would think that it would stick to the pan, but nah, it flipped real easy. Bah, got that smooth IHOP top. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a thing.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear, man. Yeah, man. Nah, that's good. That's certain shit, man. Certain shit, when you get the hang of it, it's an art. Frying chicken, scrambling eggs, a good scrambled egg, that takes some time. I think salmon, that I ain't never really land that yet, but that's one of them. There's certain pancakes, definitely. There's certain shit, like when you get the hang of it, whoo, you an artisan.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man. Yeah, I feel you on the... I respected that scene where he was in there. He had to abstain from the drink, you know, the sobriety life. Dog, I ain't smoked weed since August.
Damn.
So I know how that shit. I'm just trying to, you know what I mean? Like, I know how that feel, and I know how that, like you say, you smell that chicken. Mm-hmm. Nigga, you be in the world, you smell that loud. Mm-hmm. You're like, damn it. You know, and it's nothing but time and opportunity to get high. But I'm like, let me chill. Let me see if I could, you know what I mean? I'm trying to go at least a year. So yeah,
COVID, post-COVID gonna help you with that, because you ain't gonna want to be put, you know what I'm saying? Like, the most, like, temptation you're gonna get, you're gonna be in a room and somebody might try to pass you some shit. COVID, you be like, nah, buddy, I'm good.
I'm good on
keep
that.
Your,
yeah,
keep
cool,
your germs to yourself, player.
Yeah, you keep that to you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But yeah, man. So that was Snowfall. That was a good one. We got it again tonight. As always, we're gonna recap that shit. We're gonna, you know, let you know what we think about it. You know what I mean? For the people that fuck with it. Yeah, man. Let us know in the comments what were some of your favorite lines from this past episode, and you know, what are any of your predictions? You know what I'm saying? And you got anything else you wanna say to the people or?
Nah, man, shit. Shit, we good, man. Okay. Yeah, whatever I wanted to say, I should have said it before we talked about Snowfall.
Oh, there you go. Snowfall, Nightfall, it's over.
with the LeBron picture with the do-rag with the cigarettes hanging out there. Well.
Right, exactly. I don't give a shit. Lakers in six. Yeah, man. So, yo, that's it. Until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.